The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Horror at the Store is sponsored by FYE. You can check them out in-store or at FYE.com for some of the coolest horror merch you can find. Guys, welcome to Horror at the Store. I'm your host, Katie Hettenbach, and today we have a wonderful, special guest. She's amazing. She's fantastic. We actually just met today.
Currently, right now.
right now. It's Liz Holland.
Hello.
Give it up.
Woo!
We met through a mutual friend.
Yes.
Jesse Harris, who was also on a few episodes. So
mutual horror fan.
Mutual horror fan. Yeah. We both work in film as PAs and all that jazz.
That we do with goals of other things, hopefully not just PA forever.
Yes, you know, no, PAing for the rest of our lives.
I do want to be a career PA.
That's, you know, that is a track for some people.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, goes, you know, our hearts go out to them. You rock. I can't do that, though.
No.
My heart hurts. Okay, so the first movie we watched was Creepshow.
Yeah.
It was 1982. And we do I've been calling it a one-liner. It's the log line. It's a log line. I got them mixed up. It's fine. So we're doing a log line off of the title by itself. This one I had trouble with. I don't know about you. I've done them for every single movie.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't think of anything. So this one is: a boy finds himself trapped in an alternate, terrifying carnival dimension filled with goblins and ghouls. Will he make it home in time for dinner?
Okay, that's actually iconic, and I love it, and I misunderstood the assignment.
That's okay.
But I'm going with it.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it anyway.
Mine was Giallo Kill the Movie, the Anthology.
I love that.
Yeah, so nothing to do with Creepshow itself besides the film.
I love that. So this is a George Romero film, which I didn't realize.
I forgot. When that came up, I was like, oh my God, of course it is.
I was like, wait, is this the same? Because it said George A. Romero. I was like, wait, is this a different one?
It's a Michael B. Jordan scenario.
I was like, is this, I'm confused. Yeah. And I was like, no, that's, he just doesn't, sometimes he uses the
yeah, sometimes
it. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I love that for you. Love that journey for you. I love him, so I love all of the Night of the Living Dead, Day of the Dead, all those.
Yeah.
Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. He didn't do Return of the Living Dead.
That one, I love that.
Yes,
oh
but I also love him. Love practical effects. Love a good B movie. And I feel like this is very much in line with, like, you know, like the Peter Jackson making a brain dead. Like,
yeah,
this is very much that.
Oh, 100%.
And it took me a minute to be like, oh, okay, these cutaways, these crazy, like, pop on the screen with a frame, like, you know, crazy color, you know, again, giallo lighting.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, of course. George Romero, here we go.
We got it. So let's get into this. So it starts out with this dad who's throwing away his son's horror comic.
Classic Stephen King child abuse.
Tragic.
Had to say it.
Tragic. And the comic book is, like, you know, the Creepshow comic book from the 1950s. And because this is based on a real comic book, and the little boy, he's mad at his dad, and he's like, wow, you're the worst dad.
Fun fact, that's Joe King, that's Stephen King's son, plays the kid. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Unless, I mean, again, I'm the stoner, so anything I say, please fact check me.
Yes, so you're a trope today. Let's go back. I had everyone be
a
trope. You
can't put me in a box, but
I had everyone be a trope, and you are the stoner.
Classic. Stoner. Do you like my holes in these lovely flannels?
Wow. I mean, you are, that's a huge one. Oh my God.
Yeah, here we go.
That's literally, yeah, that's.
There's
that's,
no arm.
You could literally put that through and like.
I could tourniquet some shit.
If you needed to.
If I need
which
to.
Is good for a horror movie.
That it is.
Wow. Look at that. Look at us.
Full circle.
We did it. I love it. It's brilliant. So this little boy gets mad at his dad, and he's, like, in his bed. He's like, my dad threw away my comic books, and this skeleton appears, and that's when the real story begins.
Yeah.
All five of them. And some of them are really, this was a long, this is a 2-hour movie. Not that it was.
No, it felt long. It really, I was like, I couldn't believe, because I had the whole time, what I realized maybe 10 minutes in when I was looking at the cast, I was like, oh my God, I love Creepshow 2. I don't actually think I like Creepshow 1. Yeah. I was like, shit, I don't recognize any of this.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, I love all the ones in 2. It's like, this movie's a slog sometimes.
It's a lot. So the first story is it's called Father's Day. And it's, like, everything is, it opens, like, in a comic book. And it's basically this, they're having this rich family is having a get-together meal. And they're like, oh, great Aunt Belinda, who supposedly murdered her father, bashed her father's head in with an ashtray.
With this ashtray.
This ashtray right here.
Also, really quick.
Is coming.
I love the uber rich, LOL. How catty. Was a joke. Yes, literally. That's like what I wrote, like immediately.
Yep. Dear, like they're so rich. They're like, oh, you're such a hog. Give me the croissants. And I'm you call your daughter fat?
The fat shaming that occurs just within the family dynamic. I'm like
oh, we love to see it. We love that we rich do. Family dynamic that's portrayed in 80s cinema. It's the best.
I do love the 80s.
They are iconic. And so this rich family, they're all hanging out at the estate. And Belinda, great Aunt Belinda, she comes and she visits. And they're so rich that they have a graveyard.
Oh, yeah.
On site. I honestly think that's kind of cool. Not that I would want a graveyard
at my house. A family plot.
But it's like a family plot on the estate.
I would love that. I would love my family estate. It's very, keep it in the family.
But also haunted as shit. Yeah. So I'm like.
Well, I mean, you can tell from her hair, how haunted the movie's about to be.
Her hair is. It's special. It looks like mine when I brush it out.
Mm. And then make it gray.
Yeah, frizzy and sad. And so at the estate, and Belinda's like, oh, I'm going to go, pay my respects to my dad, even though I fucking hate him.
Which she does every year on Father's Day, like clockwork.
Yep, she picks a flower, puts it by his grave, and she starts having these flashbacks of when her father was alive. And it's just her dad going, I want my cake. I want my cake, you dumb bitch. God, you're stupid. Dumb bitch. And you're like, whoa.
Again,
okay.
Classic Stephen King father issues.
You're like, okay. I'm like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I also do like how often, though, in that short, that the Belinda character is like, Dad, you called me a bitch. Like,
yeah,
I
literally.
Am totally dad. Like, she's like, I killed you because you were mean.
Yeah,
and
you were a dick.
The whole time, you're like,
and
yeah.
She's like, no, I can't deal with it. So, and then you see her bash his head in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, so she did do it. Okay, cool. And she's, like, drinking. She's just unhinged as fuck.
She's drinking Jameson?
Yes.
Yeah, something that I was like, oh, okay.
I mean, she knows how to party. And all of a sudden, her dad's corpse, zombie skeleton, pops out and starts crawling at her and, like, immediately, like, kills her.
Yeah.
And then it cuts back to the family on the inside. And I found out his name was Hank, the son-in-law.
Mm-hmm. American, dirt, salt of the earth name.
That took me so long to figure out what his name was. I was like, I need to figure.
Is that Ed Harris? Who plays that role? I'm so sorry. I watched
it
super high.
I have no idea.
It was someone.
It was somebody who's awesome. So he wanders in and he's like, oh, I'm going to go see Belinda. Wanders into the graveyard, immediately trips. And then falls into the grave plot. And every time he moves, the grave above him, like, shifts to.
Yeah, like, telekinetically, kind of.
And he's like, oh, God, if I move enough, this is going to fall on me. Starts to move more. Sees Belinda dead next to him. She falls on him. And then the dad's like, I want my cake. And then the grave falls. And then he dies. And then the dad's, grudgingly, like, walking towards the house.
Yeah.
And. Oh,
to finish all of that revenge.
To finish the job. And the mother figure is like, I'll go see where Hank is. I'll go look for him. And
with a little bit of weird subtext that, like, maybe I'm going to go seduce him.
She's like, I might be into my daughter's husband.
Yeah.
But I might not be. I don't know. We're a rich family. Things happen. Ooh. And wanders in. And the husband or the dead father just rips off her head.
Oh,
just pops it off. Like, yep. I was like, oh, like, you know, when you were little and you would do the,
with like a Barbie doll. Yeah.
Barbie doll, or I was going to say dandelion. But Barbie dolls are, I don't know if I
think
Barbie.
Yeah, totally. The heads come off of dandelions.
Yeah.
Not
I was
dolls.
Like, yeah, not dolls. What's, are you okay? That
I wasn't.
That's serial killer tendencies right there. I was thinking like when you like would take the head of a dandelion and you go, Mama had a baby and the head popped off and you'd like
see that's also serial killer tendencies.
Yeah, maybe that is. Never mind. I shouldn't be talking anymore. Okay. Anyways, back to this. oh God. And so the daughter and the son-in-law. No, son-in-law's dead. The daughter and the
Her brother. Yeah.
Are just vibing, and they're like, oh, we should probably go look for.
Well, it's niece and nephew mom. Just being like, the boy's just, I'm just going to get drunk. And she's like, I'm scared. Will you help? And he's like, oh, you, sister. I don't care.
And he's like, just go with me. And I'm like, fine. Okay, we'll go. And they walk into the kitchen, and who walks out before them? The dead father.
Father's Day cake.
Father's Day cake. With a Father's Day cake. And the cake is the mom's head with candles on it, and they goes, Happy Father's Day, and they go, ah, and then it just cuts.
Yeah.
And you're
well, but it does the thing where it transitions first into comic,
yes!
And it does, and like, that last line, which I think is, like, the next step is to blow their candles out. And it's just, like, these cute, like, what I really appreciate about Creepshow, and what I think, like, the kind of cold open and ending allude to,
yes,
is, like, that sometimes it's just fun to have, like, well, we're fucked endings.
Yeah.
And I think Stephen King is such a good, like, well, we're fucked, you know, ending writer.
Oh, yes.
That it really works well to be like, oh, yeah, this isn't about, like, she was correct to murder her abusive father. It's like, oh, well, he's going to come back and get revenge on everybody because this is a horror short.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
There's like, no morals. There's no mores.
Everybody's going to die.
Yep.
This next story is called The Lonesome Death of Jordy Verrill. And this one, first of all, it's Stephen King. It's little
yes.
baby Stephen King, which I was like, why does this guy look like Bill Hader? Which makes, it's interesting, though. I'm like, Bill Hader could play
well,
Stephen
King. Well, he kind of has.
But I'm, yeah, he was in Steve. But he could, like, play if they do, like, a biopic. He could be Stephen King.
Also, Stephen King biopic, actually, very interesting. That's interesting. Maybe we should do that.
We should do that.
That's a TM idea.
Did we just? Wow. Nobody steal
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Patent pending.
Nobody touch that. Stephen King, we're coming for
also,
you.
Before you start the plot,
yes.
I want to really quick say, I ranked all of these.
Oh, my God.
And for sure, just, this is the last.
Yeah.
This is, like, I love Stephen King, and nothing makes me happier than, like, that moment where he's a cop in, like, Pet Sematary,
yeah.
or that moment where he's in, like, you know, Sleepwalker's Thin or whatever.
Yes, Sleepwalker's,
love
yeah.
those. It's boring. It's too long.
The effects are cool. It was really cool. It made me feel so bad for him. So he's a farmer and he finds this meteor and he's like, oh, I'm going to sell it.
But he's also like a farmer who will like just touch an asteroid meteor or whatever. It's like,
yeah,
he's the dumb hick. Like,
he's an idiot. Yeah.
He
immediately is like, I'm going to touch it. And he touches it and he like gets shocked or whatever. And then
yeah.
it like splits in half.
Yeah. And then he pours water on it? There's some sort of like liquid
yeah,
interaction.
Yeah, like, we don't know what that is. And over the course of days, his, like, fingers start to develop this, like, I said it was, like, grass or, like, moss.
Yeah.
It just looks like green goo, and then it turns into moss, grass. And it literally, over the course of days, just starts covering his body.
It's kind of a weird, like, at first, lawnmowery man, like,
yeah.
illusion. Not lawnmower man, the version that we know and love, you know, in,
yes.
theatrically. But, like, the lawnmower man where it is, like, the guy, like, eats the grass, becomes that. It's...
Yeah.
That is what I like about these, is even though they're all originals, they do kind of, like, draw back a little bit to his stories.
Oh, yeah. And eventually his whole house is covered in this green grass, and he just keeps growing, and this green grass is just all over him now. And the saddest part is, in the end, he's just a full blob.
Oh, yeah.
And he is so sad. I literally was like, oh, poor buddy. He goes... He pulls out a shotgun and he goes, God, just one time, please just let me have my way. And I was like, buddy, no.
I know.
And then he kills himself. And I was like, oh, no, poor Buddy, but at least poor Buddy. I felt so bad.
And again, it's like no one does a great ending like he does. Like just a dark, like, oh, well, that's great. It's like, yeah, once it starts, it doesn't stop spreading.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, man. Poor Jordy. Poor little Jordy.
But also, again, that's like my least favorite of them because it's so like one note. It's all of these, despite, again, there being five, all of them feel longer than they possibly could. And there's just a lot of scene chewing at the beginning, like a lot of setup.
Yeah, and I'm just like, okay, let's get into it.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Okay, this is the third one. Something to tidy over. This one was... So, Harry Wentworth, which is played by a young Ted Danson.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, he's adorable. He meets... Or this guy, he's like in his apartment... And this guy comes to the door, and his name is Richard. That's always been a hard word for me to say.
I was going to say Leslie Nielsen.
That too. He comes to the door, and he's like, I took Becky, who's your wife, girlfriend, lover.
You're something.
And we're like, cool. Takes him, and he's like, okay, I'll take you to, you know... Becky, mm-hmm. I'll take you to her. You just have to come with me. And he's like, okay, fine. And then they go to the beach. And he's like, where's Becky? And Richard, there we go. Got it. He pulls out a gun. He's like, get in the hole. And he's like, what? And so he makes Harry go into this hole on the beach and is like, bury yourself up to your head. So he does so because he's got a gun pointed to his head. He doesn't want to. And he's like, oh, okay, I'm going to leave you now. Bye. So he leaves for a little bit.
Except what I love is the amount of CCTV and kind of like, like he leaves him with a monitor. I know he comes back later, but I love like just the leaving but being like, you can still watch, or I will still be watching. There's so much, like, interesting, like, technology in this one.
Well, you're like, what kind of generator are you using? What's the
exactly.
Wi-Fi situation?
Exactly.
Because that would never happen now. Dear God. I mean, it would, but, like, you know.
But it would take a couple of MiFis.
It would take a little bit, a couple of those. Oh, good times, MiFis. And he comes back, and he's like, oh, I'm going to set up this TV in front of you. And it's showing Becky... in the same position as Harry, but this time the tide is coming in.
Yeah, I love that it's like, oh, she flipped a coin, so she's lower on the beach. Like, so many of these, like, movies are just about, like, a coin toss or luck or, like, a bet. Like, I kind of love where it's like, if you can get out of this alive, you're alive.
Good luck.
All of the villains are just like, it's up to you.
But you're probably going to die anyways.
Yeah.
And so he goes, or the... Oh my God.
Richard.
Richard, there we go. He is like, well, you know, have fun because she's dead. You can watch your lovely girlfriend die.
Yeah.
And then the tide starts coming in and Harry's freaking out. And of course, Harry dies because when the tide comes in and you're buried, you're going to die. And Richard's just in his house watching the live feed.
Really quick. Richard. Love his sweater at the beginning.
Yes.
Love his necklace at the beginning.
Yes.
And then he does a full change and is in, like, some weird kind of, like, velvet, like, couture, like, tracksuit. Love it.
You're like, that's a
Leslie
villain.
Leslie Nielsen.
You're like, that's a villain. We need more. I love that actor so much. He's, like, he's been so many, like, lovable characters but also hateable ones.
Oh,
that I'm
yeah.
just like, I love you, sir. Is he still alive?
No.
I think, did he die recently?
I think it was longer ago than I do this every time. There's a couple people where it's like, I'm pretty sure it was a while ago.
Okay. It's like, it was like 2016, but we think it's like a year
yes.
ago.
Yeah, yes, because time is an illusion.
I think it's still 2010 in my head, so it's been a long road for
2014.
Me. 2014. Oh, yeah, yeah. So you get me. And so this man's watching Harry and Becky's feeds. Like, you know, just watching them on tapes. He's got hundreds of tapes and it's just watching them, like, slipping a martini. And he starts getting paranoid. He's like, oh, I think something's coming for me.
But and then he goes and has a shower.
He has a shower, of course. That's what you do if you're scared.
I love it.
You shower. And Harry and Becky are like these like water zombie things, and they're undead. And they just come in to say hi and are like, hey, you did this to us.
We just want to see you. I love that they keep saying that, which is so creepy.
They're like, we just want to see you and then kill you. So they basically do the same thing and they waterboard him and then he dies.
Yeah. But again, I love that it's like everybody dies. Yeah. It's not like they escaped magically somehow. Everyone just dies.
Everyone's just dies. That's just the moral of the story. It's Creepshow. Everybody dies.
Yeah.
The fourth one, we have two more. Good God. These are so, like, awkwardly long, but they're just...
I'm going to say we do not need to talk about creeping on you, probably, which is the fifth one, because it's like, listen, besides the fact that bugs are a great gross out, it's just an episode of The Twilight Zone where it's like, I'm going to get phone calls where people are mean. It's like, it's very...
Literally, honestly, let's talk about that one. So, they're creeping on you. It's just a man who's germophobic and... He's got a germ-proof house.
But like doomsday-y almost,
And cockroaches invade.
Yeah.
And
it's one of those cool things where it's like, are they actually there or are they not? Because you have that moment where it's like everyone won't come because they're like, we always, you know, the exterminator's always coming here. But then at the end, it's kind of implied, like, maybe everyone put these bugs in your house because you're such a dick.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit to his workers, his friends, everybody.
That one also has some interesting, like, racial dynamics. Like, there's, like, the... The guy who takes over, like, the night manager.
I think it was the exterminator?
Yeah. Oh, it was the... But it was the guy who was calling the exterminator.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a very weird, like... I was just like, oh, okay, this is the 80s. Very uncomfortable.
You're like,
okay,
I
copy.
I don't like that. And, but the exterminator, he comes, and he's like, oh, I'll take care of the cockroaches. I'll come back in the morning. Mm-hmm. And he's like, cool, awesome. And... meanwhile, there's just, like, cockroaches everywhere, and this guy locks himself into his, like, panic room? Question mark. Again, everything was kind of like, is this a panic room? I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a safe room, and cockroaches just invade, and they, like, crawl into his mouth, and he basically dies. And so the next day, you know, the exterminator's knocking on the door. He's like, hey, I'm here to get the bugs. Get them out of there. And the guy's just, like, dead. Like, in the panic room. And all of a sudden, they just start, like, crawling out of him. Yeah. But it's not... It's gross, but it's not, like, gory if it was done today. Yeah. I feel like it would be so much blood and, like, gore, and you'd see everything. But it's just so simple that it's just... And the practical effects hold up.
They do.
So well.
A lot of this movie, I will say, the effects hold up. Again, how B it is. Like, when you just, like, stop and are like, this is a B movie. These are, like, B comics. This is supposed to be this way.
Yeah.
I do think there's a lot of joy to be had here, even though, again, some of them are a little bit, like, chewy the scenery. It takes a little bit to get into them.
Yeah.
I do like them.
Yeah. So let's go back to the fourth one. This is the crate.
Probably the best
I
one.
Liked it.
Besides the outro.
Oh, my God. Okay, so it starts with this college faculty party, and
everyone calls me Billy. Okay, you should just call me Billy.
There's this... bitch, Billy, and she's so she's like, what are you doing, Harry? Or Henry, her husband.
Henry, what would you do without me? You would do nothing without me.
Henry, oh my God. And Henry is just like, he's having visions of just killing her.
Yeah.
Just like.
And then people applauding. I love this moment where it's like, he kills her, and then everyone's like, thank God someone just shut her up.
Good shot, old sport.
She's basically like a Karen.
Yeah, it's just like, sorry to Karens, but not. Don't do that. Oh my God.
Yes, but this in particular.
But he was like,
she's a Billy. She's a Billy.
She was a Billy, and it was like, she deserves to die. Yeah. She deserves to be killed. Yeah. That's where I was going.
But again, these ones are always like, people deserve it, but like, no one deserves it. But it's okay. We're just going
to
kill people.
It's like, at this point, everyone deserves to die in this. But so Billy's just belittling Henry, and his coworker, Dexter, he gets this call that there's this crate found under the stairs at a college, and it's from an Arctic expedition.
1834.
And
maybe.
And so the next day, Henry is at his house, and he has a vision of choking out his wife, Billy, and I just think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then she's like, what are you staring at? And he's like, nothing. And then cut back to Dexter finally going to the school to look at the crate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's revealed that it's inside this crate is like a chimp.
Yes.
Sasquatch.
I love the creature mix-ups. Like, it's kind of like a werewolfy version of an ape.
But it looks really short.
Yeah.
It looks really tiny, but, like, also large. So it's confusing. And he just eats people. He's like a janitor. He eats a couple people right away. And it's just the most epic, special, like, rip-aparts. Yeah. And you just see them
That's,
rip
like,
apart.
Definitely some of the best practicals. I think I wrote, I love some practical death effects.
They're
like,
so good. Oh, my God. It's just so easy. And then there's this... Okay. So, then Henry and Dex, they meet up, and Dexter tells him about, you know, this creature.
His problem.
And Henry's like, oh, I got an idea. So he goes to the school. He starts cleaning up the blood. Yeah. And he leaves his wife a letter that's basically like, hey, Dexter's in some trouble, some woman trouble. I need you to save me. I need you to come help me. And I just...
What would I do without you?
I just want to point this out. So she pours herself a glass of milk, okay? No, I'm from Wisconsin, so I... You know, I drink milk occasionally.
Yes.
Okay. So she pours herself a glass of milk, which is, you know, that's not that creepy. That's weird. It's like, you know, that's like a, you know, trope in horror movies where the villain drinks milk. So she goes to the school. Okay. But she brings the glass of milk with her.
I did not notice that, and I'm obsessed with that.
Like, okay, I drink milk, but I drink it in private. I'm not going to go out of my way to drink a glass.
Public.
In public? Why would you bring a glass in? That's so weird. I don't know. That was like, I was like, this. Yeah. That was the thing that stood out for me. And so... just pours herself a glass of milk and then brings it? I don't know. Yeah.
She also was, like, drunk driving on milk. Like, yeah, I couldn't tell. I mean, I'm sure she drank her
own. I was like, damn, what you put in that milk? I was like, good for you. Is it... I bet you it's, like fat-free. No, it's, like, whole... Or what if it's...
Ooh, she's getting high on that whole milk.
Oh, goddamn. It's the whole milk. What does that? She's like there, she's at the crate, and Henry's like, you just gotta look at it. And she's like, what? Okay.
Yeah. I love that then there's this whole like he pushes her and she's really close, and then for a second you're like, oh fuck. Like,
and she just starts
out.
Belittling him. She's like, you're nothing without me. Oh my God, you can't even get it up in bed.
Oh,
and you're like,
oh. And it's at the point where you're like, okay, if I didn't want you dead, now you should just die. Yeah. And I wanna see it happen.
Mm-hmm. And then the creature just eats her.
Yep.
And just she's just, but as she's also still kind of insulting him, but just eating him.
Yeah.
Or eating her. And, oh my God. And so she's dead. She's dead as fuck. And Henry's like, oh, I should probably, like, lock the crate so nothing else happens.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I'm going to put it into my car and throw it off a cliff into some water.
Which is like, we all know that you're always going to break out. There's always room for a sequel.
Yep. And, of course, it does escape.
Yes.
And it's on the loose again.
I kind of like the idea that they should have just kept it and, like, used it for their purposes.
Yes.
These two just hilarious, like, chess-playing old men.
But it's just, like, they... And also, they were sleeping with students.
That felt to me more like that was potentially going to be a good relationship for him.
Yeah, honestly, he's...
I'm kidding. She is way too young for him. And it seems... I don't believe that they were actually, that he was having affairs with students. I think that was a cover story to tell Billy to get her down there.
There were so many little, like...
There were one or two flirts at the party.
Oh,
but I'm
yeah.
also like, listen, have you seen American Psycho 2? We're not getting that territory.
We're covering that in a later episode.
So, well, yeah. There you go. A little bit of student-teacher Shatner.
It's amazing. Yeah, so what did you give this out of 10? What did you think
the
overall?
The film as a whole, the anthology... I have a really hard time with anthologies because you can't. I'm a very like lowest common denominator, but also you can't, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
There, 6.5.
Okay.
Meaning to me though that like not an American scale of like a 7 is a C, but more like a this was better than 50%. This was better than, you know, halfway there.
Yeah.
A lot of people put a lot into this. Personally, I'm not like. I love a good B movie. I love a good bad. It's good, but. It's not, like, my taste, especially with horror.
Yeah.
So it's, like, I'd rather be watching, if we're going to watch, like, Stephen King original content, Rose Red or Storm of the Century, like, I'd rather be in a little mini-series, like, creep mood. So, like, 6.5.
Yeah.
It's great, and I recommend it to everyone, and I really love what Romero did. I love what Stephen King
did.
He's
amazing.
And even though, again, Stephen King's not my number one favorite actor for a whole thing.
Yeah.
He really, I did care about him.
He was, I felt
yeah,
really
he
bad.
Was really sweet.
I love that. I love that story.
Yeah.
I gave it a 6 give it a 6.
So 6.25 right in the middle of us.
I love that. That's easy. It's fun. I enjoyed it. It was chaotic. Some of the stories were, I was like, okay.
Yeah, but everyone should go watch Creepshow 2.
Oh, yes. You've seen Creepshow 2? I have not seen Creepshow. I've never seen any of these.
Holy shit. Okay, Creepshow 2 has this, like, probably one of the best ones is these people on a raft and, like, this goo. So you got to watch it. That's one of my favorite
shorts.
For
the goo.
Yeah, for the goo.
Okay, I'll
Which, again, I was watching this, and I'm like, where the fuck is my goo? And
then Where's the goo?
And I called my friend, and he's like, you've only ever shown me clips from Creepshow 2. And I was like, have I only ever seen it? No, I'd seen this before, but a while ago.
I love that. Well, do you want to promote anything?
Probably just my Instagram. Movie Maniac Girl. Girl with an I. I'm not, you know, no U's over here. And then... I don't know. Yeah. That's it. I promote on my Instagram story a lot of the stuff I work on. So
I love that. Yay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and watching this movie with me.
Yeah. Thank you for having me at the store.
Of course. And I will see you guys next time at Horror at the Store.
Woo.
Ooh. You can follow us on Instagram at Horror at the Store. And you can follow me as well at KT Hetty.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.